Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Time now to talk to the great Tim Hasselbeck, of course, from Innsworth, their head coach in ESPN as well. Timmy, what's up?
What's up? How you guys doing?
Hey, we're talking about a win. I didn't think we were going to be doing that.
What a great win, huh? Like, it just was just in control, top of it. Just felt like sky's bluer, coffee tastes better. Like when you just have it in hand like that, don't you think?
That was just, I mean, you've seen wild games in your career, but the range of emotion of a Titans fan in that game, I'm sure was nuts. But they got it done. They found a way.
I mean, just take two plays. Take two plays. You got a running back who, a week after A.D. Mitchell does it for the Colts, lets go of the ball at the goal line. Okay, so like you have that, so you just take two plays, that play, and then you have an interception that turns into a touchdown for the offense. I'm not sure, like if you are, like think of, like where I think people around here are laughing about, like, hey, you know, we'll take the win and this and that. Think if you're the Cardinals right now.
Oh.
Like think how they must feel, like there's no shot, like that might be the worst loss ever, like in the history of football, to have it happen on two plays like that.
Oh man, it was bad. But look, and Joe's going to talk about dropping the football because he's obviously very heated about that. What do you see from Cam Ward? Because I felt like the first three quarters there was still a lot of concern. He's missing receivers, or it's hitting him right in the hands and they're dropping it. Which, yep. Is that on them? Is that on him? But then
that's,
you look at that.
Yeah. You know what I think, honestly, and like, and I, you know, for my job, like the way I, you know, take notes throughout a game, and like every quarterback misses throws, every quarterback deals with drops and stuff. I keep saying it, and like I feel strongly about it. It's a dependent position, and I don't think the guys around him are making plays. Like there are too many times where it's like, look, we just expect you to catch that football. I mean, everyone can talk all they want about, you know, the year Dak Prescott is having, and he's getting MVP chance when he's in, you know, in New York. Well, just like go look at some of the plays that have been made by his receivers. Like you need guys to make catches when the ball isn't just hitting them right in the face mask. And so I think that's a huge issue for the Titans. I think it's a huge issue. So like, I think, can the quarterback be more accurate? Like you always can, but you still need guys to make plays for you.
Sure. Oh, I 100% agree with you. When you look at that throw he made to Calvin Ridley on the final drive, yep. I mean, like, put it in a bucket. It was just it was perfect. How do how does he learn from that and replicate that? I know that's easier said than done, but when he does things like that, that's good Cam.
I think that he has a couple of throws every game where you go, yep. Like, it makes sense. This is why he was drafted where he was drafted. I think you see a couple every game. I think there are some quarterbacks that, you know, have been drafted high where, like, that hasn't been the case, where, like, you wouldn't always see it. So I actually would say that, like, I think he has replicated things. I think there have been some of these throws where you're like, wow, like, that was really good. And also to put it in, like, some perspective, like, you know, Drake May had a really tough rookie season. But, like, you know, there were glimpses of the good, and I think there was maybe still some people who were like, well, you know, like, we'll see. But now, like, as he's, you know, another year in the NFL and all that stuff, like, you start to see, like, okay, yeah, like, now I see it more. And then the other thing that's happened is the players around him are better than the players that were around him last year, and the coaching around him was better than the coaching that was around him last year. And so he's played better. Like that's the reason for it. So I've heard some people kind of start to get the, I don't know. I mean, it's just like the voice inflection of like, I don't know, like is Cam Ward going to be the guy? Like, I think it's way, way too early to have those conversations.
I totally agree with you. Tim Hasselbeck joins the Chasing Big Joe show. Tim, I got to bring it up about the drop of the ball on the goal line. A friend of mine, a coach, called me on Sunday and said, hey, this all goes back to 7-on-7. We're going to see more of this because these guys in 7-on-7, they all do this. How do you talk to your football team about not doing this?
You know what's crazy is I haven't spoken to my team about, like, hey, don't drop the ball at the 1 yard line before you cross the goal line, because I think it's so ridiculous that I'm like, if I have to address that,
right,
then we've got bigger issues. But it probably is worth talking about. Like, you know, all these guys that, you know, think of all the choreographed celebrations that we see people do now and all the different things people are talking about. That's what I believe is the, you know, the genesis of all of this, which is you're so eager to celebrate that you don't just finish the play.
Right.
And so it's like you're not making the main thing the main thing. The main thing is go score the touchdown. And then, you know, you celebrate with your teammates afterwards. Like, that should be the afterthought. So I really think that it's guys that have been, you know, they're like, oh, if I score, I'm going to do this.
Yes.
And so now they're like so in a hurry to get into their celebration. Like, that's because there's really no, like, when guys race, you know, when they run track and they race in the 100, like, they really don't, you don't start celebrating until like after you finish because you want a good time. You know, like you want to finish the run. When you run a 40-yard dash at a football camp, like, you run through because you want to finish the time. And so, yeah, it's crazy to me. I think the weird part about it is that, like, it's been such an expensive lesson to learn because it's embarrassing, all the different things, that to have it keep happening is wild.
No, I totally agree with you. And I, again, he's like, it's not going to stop because these 7-on-7 celebrations, they get 10 yards. They're celebrating because they got 10 yards. He's like, it's not going to stop. Maybe this, what happened on Sunday, will stop these guys. And the fact, Tim, right now that the Arizona coach apologized for getting in the face of the running back yesterday during a press conference, I got a problem with that because that guy lost the game for him, Tim.
Yeah, I didn't see the apology, and I'm not remembering how, like, significant, like, the getting in his face was. I mean, maybe he said something
right
that was more, you know, demeaning than coaching. And so maybe that's what the apology was for. I would hope that was the case, but, like, look, like, to me, that there's a difference probably between somebody makes a dumb play of saying, hey, like, that was stupid versus, like, you're stupid, right? Like,
yes.
There's two very different things. And so, yeah, like, I would guess that maybe it was along the lines of, you know, in the heat of the moment of, I can't believe you just did that, you know, getting on him for that. But, look, look, yeah, like that's a losing play. It's the Mike Vrabel quote. There's good, there's bad, and there's the stuff that gets you beat. Like, that's stuff that gets you beat.
Yeah, how would Bill Parcells have addressed this?
No, I mean, he maybe would have grabbed the guy's face mask and yelled at him. cut him the next day, to be honest. That's the other thing.
Right.
Just cut him the next day.
Yeah.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. So what is a win? You know, they're not pretty. They're not all pretty.
Yeah.
What does a win like this do, though? Can they use this as a jumping off point? They're going up against a team that I think the Raiders are maybe a little better than the record shows, but they're kind of in the mm-hmm. same boat. You know, they're struggling. They're trying to find themselves in the first yep. year of Pete Carroll. So how can they, the Titans, use this as a jumping off point?
Yeah, I think you always have to celebrate the wins. I think you always have to do that. And so, it's hard to win games in the NFL. I mean, look at the Ravens, who've been a perennial, very good football team. Or, shoot, the Chiefs, for that matter. So, like, winning games is hard. And, I'm kind of making fun about, you know, the way they won. But, like, it's a win. And, you know, you're like, it's a starting point. So, in the NFL, when you go into the facility after a loss, it's like a funeral. It really is, because there's just so much paranoia about job security and all of that stuff. So I do think that there can always be momentum with it, because, you know, the flip side of it is it's just so bad after losses. So, you know, that's why, I do think that even though it's like, man, we were fortunate to come away with a win here, I do think you have to kind of embrace it and celebrate it. So what can it do? I think it can tell you, like, look, we didn't play great and still won a football game. So if we actually fix the things that we know we are doing wrong, well, then we can be way more competitive. And so hopefully it just like a basketball player seeing a foul shot go in and all of a sudden to get back on track, that same type of process.
You know who's been sneaky for the Titans is Chigakonkwo. Like, he's kind of been one of the most reliable receivers that Cam has had.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that there have been moments, you know, for other guys. The problem with that is like, you need receivers to be reliable targets. Like, take New England, for example. Hunter Henry has been the most reliable guy in New England. And that's like, it's been fine. But next thing you know, you see a receiver step up and become a reliable target. You're just way more explosive on offense. And so, you know, now it changes the dynamic of your explosiveness.
Yeah, Tim, yesterday we had a lot of people calling in like, well, Arizona gave that game away. They gave the game away. But my thing, Tim, was Titans still had to go down and score three times. So you take advantage of opportunities, don't you, that present themselves?
I mean, you do. Yes. Now, and you're right. Like, it's, you know, there are unforced errors in every football game. So, yeah, you're right. And that's a little bit, you know, I think, you know, to Chase's question about just how, like, okay, like, we're fortunate to come away with the win, but how can this be a, you know, a springboard for us? Yeah, like, you that's what you do. You're going to look at the positives. It's no different than a team losing a football game and saying, look, guys, we just had a slow start. You know, like, we actually won the second half. You know, like, you didn't lose the game, but, like, you are finding, you know, the positives in it. And so, yeah, like, look, you responded enough to say, yeah, like, we still were able, like, we caught a break here, but, you know, we still had to win the game. We still had to kick a game-winning field goal.
Right.
Something that our kicker has never done before. And, oh, he missed a chip shot earlier in the game. So, yeah, like, I do think that you always point to those.
Speak to this real quick. A game like that, winning like that, friend of mine texted me and said, winning that game on the road is better than winning it at home because of the ride back. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, because you get on the bus, you get on the plane, it's late at night, you know you're going to get back. And so if you lose, then no one is really allowed to talk.
Right.
For the bus ride, the plane ride, like, it's different. I mean this. Like, it's probably too much the case. Losses feel like funerals. Like, when you go in the next day, it feels like a funeral. And then obviously it's like that, you know, when you are leaving, leaving the stadium. But wins are the exact opposite. And maybe like Mac Brown said this to me one time about his coaching career. He's like, you know, I need to find a way to enjoy the wins as much as I hate the losses.
Right.
Like, it's very true, because, like, that's what I mean about, like, it being a funeral site. There's so much paranoia about coaches keeping jobs. And I'm talking top to bottom, from, you know, the head coach all the way down through, you know, strength coaches, you know, not even position coaches, just saying, like, okay, we underperformed, like this is affecting our career. So, yeah, there's no doubt that a win like that on the road is helpful. And I think the other thing that it does is, like, when you win like that on the road, like, you didn't have to experience any boos in a victory. If that game were at home, there would have been boos in that game. And so you didn't experience that. There was definitely a period of time when I was at the Giants where I was like, you know what? We're better off playing at the road, because Eli is just getting booed out of the stadium, and it doesn't help us play any better.
We'll have more with Tim Hasselbeck on the rest of the NFL coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Tuesday, continuing our conversation with Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. So what do the Bengals look like with Joe Flacco, Tim?
You know, they're better than they've been. Look, I didn't think Jake Browning was going to be the answer. They've revolved so much about their success, and well, probably rightfully so, around, Burrow, that – you know, I think that they, you know, probably, like, and that's fine. I think, like, you could say that the Bills do that same thing, right, around their quarterback, or, you know, the Ravens do that around their quarterback. But I do think that, like, when you look at those teams, you know, they've they've signed quarterbacks that have been starters before, you know, and or shown enough to say, like, all right, if we got to play four games or five games or six games, you know, with this guy, that we can get wins. I don't think Cincinnati did that. And so it's one of the reasons I thought, like, right away when Burrow was hurt, I was like, honestly, they should find out about Jameis Winston right now. Like, they should – like, they should do something so that their season isn't over in September. So, I think that's, you know, I don't know. Might sound pretty rich, like a former backup quarterback and people, you know, saying that. But like, I think you've got to invest in it. Like, look at what Washington did. Washington has had, Marcus Mariota has had to start two games already for the Commanders.
Yep.
So I think it's important. It's not like a big cost prohibitive move to go sign someone like Mitchell Trubisky or somebody like that to put yourself in a situation where your season's not over if your starter's going to be out for a month or so. I think that, you know, trying to adjust to it, you know, on October 7th, I think typically is too late, but I think it's also better than what you've been doing.
You know this better than anybody, that sometimes the quarterback needs the right system and the right coach. Does Trevor Lawrence finally have that in Jacksonville?
Yeah, it feels like it a little bit, because I think that he's been coached really hard. Like, I don't think Liam Cohen really knows it any other way. I think that's how he's going to coach, which I think is going to benefit a lot of times first rounders, who sometimes coaches don't feel like they can come in and coach really hard. So, you know, he's being coached hard. He's got a little more experience as a pro player. And then, you know, also to be fair to the guys that were there before him, he's got better surrounding talent than he's had before. So, you know, I think it's a combination of those things that are happening to help, you know, him have a better season, you know, at least through this point than he was in previous years. But like, there's also been some, I can remember the play early in the year where, you know, Liam Cohen's kind of, you know, ripping him for an inaccurate throw and he kind of waves him off. And like, I don't, you know, part of it is like the player has got to embrace being coached tough as well.
All right, we got to give you credit, Tim. You said on this show before the season started, you were talking about Drake May, and you said the Patriots got themselves a quarterback. I loved watching him Sunday night, because you're exactly right. Made good throws, stood in the pocket, got hit hard, rallied the team, and I loved what he said after the game about having teammates and just the guys making plays. I love that, because you could tell the confidence in him. Yep. What did you see early on about Drake May to realize he's the guy?
I called his first start at North Carolina.
Oh.
And I guess like Florida A&M or someone like that. And I talked to him, you know, in the pre-production meeting, talked to him on the field before the game, watched him, and I was like, holy cow, this guy is incredible. And then, you know, was calling games in the conference for a while and got to see him a bunch. And I just was like, I mean, I've said this, like, he's about as good of, I think he is. Like, you know, Matthew Stafford was an incredible prospect coming out. Like Trevor Lawrence to me, like, I'm just trying to remember, you know, Andrew Luck was obviously a very good prospect coming out. Like, I think Trevor Lawrence was as good of a prospect coming out of school as anybody in my, you know, whatever it's been, 17, 18 years working at ESPN doing that stuff, like, that I've seen in terms of physical ability, maturity, leadership, competitiveness, like all of those things. And so I really think that there's a class of quarterbacks in the NFL, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, that I think like physical skill wise, like they're a cut above pretty much everybody else in the NFL, right? Like that are like that.
Right.
Then I guess what I would say is, in that category is Drake May. He's in that category in terms of ability. And so I think you saw that in the game. Like when you think of the plays that are typically Josh Allen-like plays,
right,
where it's not blocked correctly, you need to be like stiff arming a 300-pound defensive lineman, you know, finding a way to convert, like doing that multiple times in the game. Like, that's who I think he can be. And that's why I think for New England, I think they have their coach, and I think they have their quarterback. Uh-oh. And when you have that, you got a chance to be pretty good.
They do. I want to tell you this quick Nick Saban story that I saw this weekend. I think you'd like it. He talked about in high school how he called plays. They were in the state championship game. They're down a touchdown. They're on the 15-yard line. They got fourth and goal, and his coach says, whatever you call, it better work. And Saban says he went back to the line to the huddle, and at that moment, his coach called him back over and said, remember, think playmakers, not plays. And he goes back into the huddle and calls a play for one of his playmakers, a setup. And, Tim, I thought that's one of the most impactful coaching motivation things I've ever heard. Remember your playmakers, not the plays. Is that how we should look at things when the game's on the line?
100%. And that's why, look, how we started the conversation about how's Cam Ward playing. Who are his playmakers?
Right.
Like, who are his guys? Like, you couldn't get a unanimous decision out of anybody if you're like, all right, got to have it. 4th and 8, need to have it. Who do you need to give the ball to? You know, who do you need to try to get open? Like, you couldn't get a unanimous answer out of that. Like, you take New England, who we were just talking about. Got to have it moments the other night. What did they do? Like, they were dying to get the ball to Stephon Diggs. Like, that's what they were trying to do, you know? And so I think you need those things. Like, but in order to think players, not plays, you better have the players.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. So, you know, getting into October now, do you feel like we have a good idea of who's for real and who's pretending, or do you still need a few more weeks to let that be more clear?
You know, I think you have a sense. I think you have a sense because when you look at it, you have more data on, how many games you've played, some injuries, things like that. Like, I'll give you an example. The Chargers. Everybody was all over the Chargers. Yep. But here's the deal. They're so injured right now, they're not a serious team. Like, the way they cannot protect the quarterback, they're not serious. Look, we know way more about the Titans than we did. Now, could a team like Baltimore, that's not a good team, like, could they turn it around? They could. But they've given up something like at least 37 points in every single one of their losses. So there would have to be a pretty significant correction. Now, they got a lot of guys out and some of them returning. But, yeah, I think we've got a pretty good sense of – but look, at least on the edges, the teams that are really good and the teams that are really bad, we absolutely know about them.
Do you think Tampa Bay with Baker is good enough to get over the hump, or are they still good enough to win that division, get into the playoffs, and then kind of see what happens?
They're good enough to be a Super Bowl team. Yeah, and I mean, obviously you're going to have to beat a team like Philadelphia or somebody like that, but like, I don't think there's any question. He's a good enough quarterback, and they can definitely be a good enough team to at least, make it competitive.
How are we doing at Innsworth?
Other than the fact that literally the power just went out as you were asking me that question, we're doing good. We're coming off of a region win, playing CPA this week. So we're good. And that brings us into our bye week, which always comes at a good time to get the bumps and bruises, healed up. So, and it's the My 30 TV game of the week. So since you refuse to come to any of our games, Joe, you can sit on your couch and watch it.
Well, I was going to say, of all the schools that don't have any money, can't pay their power bill, Innsworth is right at the top. So
it might be this weather. Like, what's the deal with this weather here? Like, we're not supposed to be playing in, like, cold, rainy days.
Your Boston weather. You love this weather.
Yeah, no, this is, like, this is not good throwing the football weather right here.
I get that. Let me ask you this. Tomorrow night, I got to call the MTSU game. It's on a Wednesday night. And they haven't played in a week and a half. And I know what the difference is, but from your coaching standpoint, playing on a Wednesday night, how odd, different, difficult, easy is this?
Yeah, I think it's unique from the standpoint of, like, your whole week, changes. Now you get a little extra prep time, that type of stuff. But, I think that, it's a little bit like Maxion, right? Like, you got to be ready to to kind of be like, all right, like this is my, you know, your, I guess, what does that be? That your Thursday is your Sunday and your, you know, and you do it that way. So, you know, oftentimes like you do get a little extra prep. The fear in that is you do too much. But you should have like fresh players ready to go. And then when you, like my experience with players is, you know, when you play and you're kind of one of the few games that are on,
yeah,
you know, it's a much more exciting, better environment to play in.
Yeah. I mean, it's on national television. I just, the preparation, like today they're checking into a hotel room tonight. And then tomorrow you're going through your game day when it's a Wednesday. It just always seems odd to me like that. But the payoff is you're on national television tomorrow night.
Exactly right. Then you should have a bigger audience than you'd have if you were playing, you know, on Saturday at noon.
Yep.
Tim, appreciate the time as always. Please go get the power back on, and good luck Friday night.
All right. Sounds good. See you, fellas.
See ya. Tim Hasselbeck joining us on the program, Innsworth football coach and ESPN NFL analyst. There's this video that's,
right,
I guess, gone viral on that I saw the other day, and I laughed pretty hard at it. And this girl comes home and it's dark and there's candles going up the stairway and it looks like really romantic. And so she's following it and like it's taking her up to like the bonus room, and she walks in and like there's candles and a heart and her boyfriend's standing there. And she's like, oh, this is so sweet because you forgot to pay the electric bill.
Can we do a quick GoFundMe for Innsworth to get those lights back on? I'm worried over there right now.
I know, right?
Man, gosh. Prayers out to Hasselbeck and the crew at Innsworth right now. It's tough to work in the dark.
It is. 615-737-1025. Jim Wyatt going to join us at 2 o'clock today to talk Titans. We'll have more coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, the game on this Tuesday. Little Evis. You know, fun fact, you bring up the Blue Raiders, which they play tomorrow night. You'll be on the call for that with Chip Walters, who, of course, is the man. You can hear that as they take on Missouri State starting at or the kickoff at 6:30. You guys will get underway at 5 o'clock and catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3 and the Totally Hits Nashville app and totallyhitsnashville.com. But on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University, the MassCom building, which I think has a different name now, but the architecture inside.
It's Borchetta, right?
I think so, yeah. Inside, it's supposed to look like Jailhouse Rock. Like, what? That was the...
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like, the design of it.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
Good to know that. Now I know that.
It's things. A fun fact.
It is a fun fact to do that. Am I wrong getting pleasure in this Arch Manning fall?
I mean...
I don't like to hop on college kids.
Yes, but, no, but...
But you were with me at SEC Media Days,
right,
when the whole thing was Arch.
But a majority of people that came by our table were kind of like, yeah, he hadn't played, like, he hadn't done anything yet.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm watching them, talking about him on ESPN now, what has happened to them, because they're the ones that rank first,
but here's,
and now they're gone.
Here's what I hope... Oh, look, Paul Feinbaum. Here's what I hope happens.
Thought he was sent to pasture.
Thought so, too, but... I hope he stays at Texas and stays with this, and then let's see if he does improve, if he gets better, because that's old school college football.
Wait, do you think he's a draft choice now?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
No. Well, I'm saying, like, don't get pissed and transfer and all this stuff like you can now. Like, I think Sarkisian's a good coach. I think Texas is a good program. He wasn't ready.
Right, and now people are like, if it doesn't work there, you know where to go, Arch. Please come to Knoxville.
Please, and sit on the bench.
Please be a disaster, because it ain't going to work. You're not good. I mean, you're surrounded by some of the best players in college football.
I don't think he can run that offense.
Me neither. And if you go back and look at his highlight reel from high school, he's playing against guys like us. I mean, it's no wonder he was so good, and he gets the name all that. But the fact that Texas and Penn State, 1-2 to start the season, are no longer in the top 25, I love it. I love it, especially because of Jimmy Frank.
Yeah. I like Sarkisian. I mean,
I had nothing against him.
I don't mind him. But so, I mean, when do we get the first college football playoff? November?
Might be
week 8, week 9, right?
Yeah, right now.
Okay, so it's week 7, so it could be soon.
First weekend of November from Jake back here.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Jake.
Yeah, Jakey, baby. Should do that. And then Chris Massaro on the committee, we'll talk to him. I don't know how much he can talk about it,
Yeah.
But he can talk on it, if that makes sense.
Right.
Would you want to be, honestly, would you want to be on the playoff committee? I would not.
Probably not.
And Archie Manning had like a health scare or something.
Yeah, he was like, get me out of here.
I don't think I'd want to be on it because you see all the just the pure hatred from the last couple of years. I mean, even like, well, now they go to 14 and 16. They go if they go to 32, the 33rd and 34th team are still going to bitch. No matter what happens, I wouldn't put up with that.
Well, and I mean, here's the thing. You're never going to make everybody happy because people complained with the computers, with the BCS.
Right.
And no, you need a human element. And then they do the human element and they complain about that. That the only time you're going to make anybody happy is if you're like, welcome to the 136-team playoff.
Right, yeah. And then the people who complain because so-and-so's ranked higher than the other team to do that. So I don't know. I would not want to be on that. And hopefully it plays itself out, which that's the ultimate goal of all this. But, again, I go back.
Look, I go back to what Will Muschamp said on our show last week, that – like, the more I've thought about that, by the way, it is raining cats and dogs right now. The more I thought about his idea of basically putting the SEC and the ACC on one side and the Big Ten and the Big 12 on the other side.
Yeah.
And what do you say, have a 32-team
yep.
playoff with 16 on each side?
Well, those 32 would fill in the bowl games.
Right. Yeah. Right. But I was just kind of like, huh, he might be onto something.
Would the Music City Bowl be willing to be a quarterfinal bowl of the college football playoffs?
I'm sure.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
But so then you get rid of playing the playoff game on campus, which I kind of like that.
True.
Yeah. I mean, okay, have you ever thought about this? Let's just have a philosophical conversation about this. The bowl games, we like the bowl games because in our life, they've always been there, right?
Yeah.
It's the way it's always been done.
Right.
But if you really think about it, is it not kind of like a, what is this? Why does this really matter?
Nope.
Like that, I mean, I like them. I'm not, but if you take a step back, they don't make a ton of sense.
That's from your view. But I'm telling you.
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
You think people in Iowa don't like a trip to Nashville?
I'm sure they do.
Right?
I'm sure they do. But wouldn't it mean more if it was a playoff game?
Well, of course it would. But at the same time, we're not there yet. But I think, as our good friend Rick Stockstill said, never been to a bad bowl game because they all are a reward for something to do that. Even the Birmingham Bowl, which – when that bowl came, I'm like, nobody wants to do that.
And look, I'm not discrediting any of the bowls. Like, they do a great job. They work really hard. I'm not discrediting any of that.
Like, make bowls good again.
The bowls are.
No, I see what you're saying, but at the same time, look at it from a perspective. I mean, it's a vacation for coaches and families and the teams and the alumni and the fans get to go places normally wouldn't go. You think they're going to turn down a trip to Tampa in late December?
Well,
Hell no.
Have you asked your coach buddies about with there being one transfer portal now, will that limit some opt-outs?
I have not, but I will effort that. Maybe we should because they play Austin Peay this weekend in a huge game.
Well, let's get the coach on.
Maybe we should do that tomorrow. Yeah. Do it tomorrow.
Right. Okay.
Austin Peay in Eastern Kentucky. And Austin Peay's playing great.
Yeah.
Chris Parsons is one of the top FCS players right now in the country.
They got a good team. But I'd be curious if now you know you can't transfer to January. And I get it. It's like, well, you could get hurt if you've already made the decision that you're going to transfer. But my thing is you could get hurt walking up the steps.
Absolutely.
So it's like – If you can't transfer till January, then finish out the season with your team and play the bowl.
Yes. But this is all uncharted territory for everybody. Nope. I mean, this is a whole new world of like, how are we doing this? How are we applying? I don't want to get hurt if I'm going to transfer to Troy or to South Alabama or something, you know. And so it's either whether you go into the big time or even to a group of five, it doesn't matter. You don't want to get injured. And so one coach told me, all these kids see now dollar signs.
Yep.
And that's a problem. And I understand it and I get it. I'm happy for the kids who are getting paid. I've got no problem with them getting paid. But at some point it becomes more than winning or losing, and that's a problem.
Yeah. I agree. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Here on this Tuesday, 102.5 The Game.
You're slowing it down, man.
No, I was going to break. You're good. I do my drinking in the evening time. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. That was Will Muschamp on our show last week. We appreciate him for joining us. Talking about the playoff, talking about college football. If I said right now, you have to tell me, you have to pick today, October 7th, your team that's going to be hoisting the trophy in January, who would it be?
I'm going back to Alabama football.
You're staying with Alabama.
Because I picked them in just a conversation we had with people at SEC Media Days. Again, for the simple fact that DeBoer did not go in the portal and find a quarterback, he stuck with Ty Simpson, and you see what's being played out right now. Ty Simpson's playing really good football. And DeBoer knew that. Look, Florida State's a good team. They just punched Alabama in the face. I think Alabama was a little cocky. I think Alabama needed that. What about you?
It's hard to pick against Ohio State, but I'm going to do it. I just got some belief in the U. I think Miami. Jeez. I think Miami's back.
That game over Florida State was a lot worse. I mean, they won 28-23, whatever it was. That game was over at halftime. Miami was in control. They relaxed in the second half and let it go. But Carson Beck, man, that's the redemption tour for that young man.
Yeah, by the way, have you looked at their schedule and realized kind of the flukiness in a part of their schedule?
They have not left the state of Florida.
Yeah, they don't leave the state of Florida until they go to SMU.
Which, that's Dr. Crane territory over there.
Well, here's the deal. I've kind of switched a little bit. So it's all these teams I pick, it depends on my dynasty. This year was Texas Tech and Tortillas. So I was telling this Jake Lyman earlier. I was like, I picked SMU last year. They were good, made the playoff. This year's Texas Tech. I think they're another team that makes the playoff.
Okay. Right, but Miami's got Virginia. They got Florida State on a Friday night, right, coming up.
No, they just played Florida State.
Not Florida State. They got Louisville. Sorry. Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville. Louisville is their next game. They're off this week. Then they got Louisville. And then Stanford. Then at SMU. Syracuse. NC State. At Virginia Tech. At Pitt.
Easy.
Until they should run the table.
That Pitt game. At Pitt in late November.
That could be tough. Yep. Louisville might be tough. Louisville's pretty good.
I think the loss of Virginia put them back just a tad bit.
Maybe. They're 4-1. What are they? 4-1?
Something like that, yeah.
They lost Virginia, but they got at Miami, Boston College, at Virginia Tech, Cal, Clemson, at SMU, Kentucky.
Not bad. But yeah. I think the Miami part of that, they could be healthy, ready to go. Pitt will be a tough game for them, but if they get into the playoffs, anything can happen. I mean, Carson Beck's playing really good football right now. And I think he's out to prove something to a lot of people.
Ohio State is also interesting. So this weekend they're at Illinois, as you like to say, at Wisconsin, Penn State, at Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers, at Michigan.
Rutgers, Purdue, I mean, they're going to roll through them.
They should win out.
Yeah.
Unless, I mean, the Michigan game's always a little bit of a toss-up because you never know. It's at the big house, too. Yep. So
yeah. But it's tough to win back-to-back.
But even if they lose that game, they're still in the playoff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Where is the Illinois game at Illinois?
It is.
Okay.
Man, that could be Champaign.
That'll be a nice little – is that another 11 o'clock?
It is. It is on Fox.
God.
That'll be 9 o'clock where we are.
Those, yeah, and I will not be – I'm not sure I'll be up by 9, but maybe.
Pretty sure I won't. See, you guys are talking about going to UNLV. If I have the Friday night I'm planning to have, I don't know if I'm going to be going to UNLV.
I don't want to be going anywhere and having to identify you. So let's make sure that –
you're going to walk down in the lobby and just see me like, oh, what's up?
Is this your friend? Never seen him in my life. I have no clue. I think he's from California. I don't know.
Are you Mr. Dubin? He had his kidney taken out. We need someone to sign for this.
How do I know that you know me? Because you know my name correctly. When I get a phone call from Bill Collector, is Mr. Durbin around? No, he's out of the country until sometime in early 2032. He'll be back then.
Mine is Maccabee.
Maccabee.
Or
yeah.
Maccabee.
Yes, Maccabee. Do we have hockey tonight? And it is starting tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Blackhawks at Panthers tonight.
Yeah.
What about old Ben McDonald? Think he'll be watching?
Probably. Who's that?
The baseball.
The baseball announcer. They were doing, like, I guess it was Sunday Night Baseball or one of the playoff games.
Promoting the hockey.
And like, you'll be watching us. Probably not.
Oh, yeah, him. Yeah.
I didn't watch any of that
my
stuff.
So here's my favorite thing now. So with WWE having a deal with ESPN,
right,
all these announcers have to do these reads for wrestling. And, like, you can – it is very clear the ones that, oh, yeah, like Cody Rhodes and, like, I know the – and then, like, Chris Fowler, who has probably never watched WWE in his life. Like, John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. The other night, like, Cody Rhodes was Corey Rhodes.
Oh, I love it.
Like, they don't know who any of these guys
is. That similar to when, like, during a CBS football game, Jim Nantz has to read Monday Night Comedies?
Yeah.
Coming up Monday on the Big Bang Theory,
yep,
Sheldon gets naked. I mean, whatever. Some comedy show.
I don't know, Jim.
They've never heard him. They got to read those promos.
I like that terrible. Sheldon.
Tony?
I don't know, Jim. Yeah, so it's something like that.
Yeah, what is the big match? Next big wrestling match. Tony! Jim, watch out, Jim. Here, Jim.
It is actually Saturday. They're in Perth, Australia. So it comes on at like 4 a.m. Vegas time where we will be.
I love Ryan Perth, Australia. It's a good place. That's where a bunch of guys walk around with...
They'll probably show it in the book.
With beards and moobs.
If I... moobs. Oh, boy. You know, I think it's time to move on here.
But real quick, we have fun, and Ryan Porth used to work here with us. I'll never forget, we did the game blitz. Remember the night I gave him two scores to look up?
And he, yes.
I gave him, an intern, two scores to look up for a game, and he spent hours looking for these. And he's like, hey, man. I'm letting you down. I can't find these games. It was Ampipe versus somebody. Tom Cruise movie, because he never watched those movies.
Yeah, so
had he watched the movies, he would have known. Man, I felt so bad for
we
him.
Did. We used to with Sudzo. We would do what was the school from Remember the Titans?
Yeah, what? Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
We yes. would give a score out for that against, you know, like another movie school. Just to have some fun. Speaking of fun, one of our favorites, Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com, is going to join us coming up next. We will talk to Jimmy ahead of the Titans-Raiders matchup here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game.